It's time for us to open our Bibles this morning. I hope that you all like Psalms because we're getting a bundle of them this morning. The title of today's message is Praise Ye the Lord. And we are going to be opening to Psalm 145 to begin with. Before we read even one verse, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for this precious gift that thou hast bestowed upon thy people. We thank thee, Lord, that we can read of thee, thy good works, thy saving grace. We thank thee, Lord, that we can be warned of things to come. We thank thee, Lord, that we can be given instruction on how to live our lives. We thank thee that we can embrace thy promises that thou hast bestowed upon us in thy book. We thank thee for the many treasures that we find in thy holy word. And we pray, Lord, that as we look upon thy scripture, that thou would inspire us to worship thee, inspire us to praise thee, for we know that thou art worthy of all praise, thou art worthy of all worship. There is none like thee, and there is none greater than thee. We know, O God, that thou art greater than all, and we are so thankful that thou hast saved us, called us out of darkness and into thy marvelous light. We pray, Lord, that thou would instill us with a sense of gratitude for all that thou hast done, and fill us with that desire to truly praise thee. We pray that thou would abide with us during this special time as we look upon thy holy scripture. We pray that there be no hindrances here whatsoever, but we bind and we break any force of darkness and any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign, thou art God Almighty, there is none like thee and there is none beside thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Psalms is a book of songs and poetry, but more importantly, it is a book of praise and worship. And if you ever read the book of Psalms, you're going to notice something when you get towards the end of it. It's all about praising the Lord. You have one psalm after another about praising the Lord, and these psalms talk about when you should praise the Lord. They talk about why you should praise the Lord. They talk about who should praise the Lord. They talk about how you should praise the Lord. So we're going to look at this. We're going to be spending some time in Psalms this morning, and like I said, this is a bundle of psalms, and I tell you what, it's better than any bundle you'd get from Geico. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful bundle that the Lord has given us, and I'm very excited to share it with you. We're going to talk about praising the Lord this morning, something that is so vitally important. We're going to start with 145, and Lord willing, we're going to move to 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. Now, you might say, well, that's quite a number of psalms, isn't it? Well, some of them are quite short, so I think we should be able to do this. But bear in mind, there's a lot in here. In fact, there's far more in here than I thought there would be. So we're going to see what the Lord will show us in his word this morning. Let's look at Psalm 145 first. This is a psalm of David, and it is a psalm of praise. In verse 1, it tells us, I will extol thee, my God, O King. That word extol means to highly praise. And right away, he's acknowledging God is not only his God, but also his King. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Well, that's good. We should bless his name forever and ever. And you're going to have just that opportunity if you stay true to God and you are with him in heaven. You will have that opportunity to praise him forever and ever. Hallelujah. So this psalm is going to answer a question. When should we praise the Lord? Well, let's look at it. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Every day. When should we praise the Lord? Every day. You know what that means? If you're going to praise the Lord every day, that means you praise him on the bad days too. Because not every day is going to be good. You're going to have good days, you're going to have okay days, you're going to have forgettable days. And then you're going to have horrible days, bad days. But whatever your day may bring, still praise the Lord. Because what your day may bring doesn't change the fact that He is our God and He is our King. And He is worthy of our praise. Now, sometimes people only want to praise the Lord when things are going well. But I tell you what, if you praise the Lord when things are going poorly, He's able to turn that around for you. And I tell you what, there's so much joy in praising the Lord with your whole heart. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Oh, you can't quantify His greatness. It's unlike anything else in the universe. And it's beyond our full comprehension as mere mortal human beings. But our God is a great God, the greatest being in existence. He is the one true God, and He is great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. And you know what? This came true. This song, which was written thousands of years ago, this prophecy, you could call it, came true. One generation shall praise Thy works to another. That has happened all throughout the ages. One generation has praised the Lord in the presence of the next generation, and the remnant of the next generation has praised the Lord. And that brought another remnant of the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, passed down from all of these generations from way back when this psalm was written. One generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. You think about everything that God has done just for us, how He has sustained us, kept us, given us things we don't deserve, and been with us even when we weren't cognizant of that fact, helped us even in times when we weren't even aware that He was even there. He has done so much for His people. And we should praise Him for that. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. Now we must remember that our God is compassionate and righteous, loving towards His people, but He also pours out judgment upon the wicked. Wicked deeds do not go unpunished forever, and people have to pay a price for their wicked deeds unless you allow Jesus to pay the price for you. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He shed His blood, to pay the price for our wicked deeds. He had no wicked deeds of His own. He paid that price so we don't have to. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. And that's good, too, to reminisce about the good things that God has done for us and all that He has brought us through. And He has been with us. This church has been here in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin for over 50 years, and we could not be here if not for the Lord's mercy and grace. He has kept us and sustained us with many miracles over the years. This church was built on miracles, and we know that He'll continue to be with us as long as we stay true and faithful to Him. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. I love that our Lord is so compassionate. And when I read this verse, I can't help but think of the Lord Jesus. You know, there were so many examples when Jesus had compassion. We know that Jesus Christ is God. When he was here on earth, he was both God and man. So this verse, verse 8 in Psalm 145, applies to Jesus. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 36, it tells us, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." Oh, yes, there was a drought and a famine in the land, a famine of hearing the word of the Lord, a drought of the move of the Spirit of God, because there had not been a prophet in Israel for 400 years until John the Baptist came along. And when Jesus came and began his ministry, he did find hungry people, people who were lost. He came to find those lost sheep and lead them as the good shepherd. He had compassion on them. And in Matthew 14, verse 14, it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." And of course, that was right before he fed the 5,000. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 41 tell us, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." Yeah. You know, there was no one else. No one else in Israel who would have gone near that leper. Everyone else would have told him, "Get away from me, you unclean person. I don't want to catch your leprosy." But Jesus had compassion. And this leper knew that if Jesus would just touch him, he could make him clean. "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Then Jesus was moved with compassion. He put forth his hand. He touched him. And what did he say? "I will. Be thou clean." And you know what? Our compassionate Savior will do the very same thing for you. Now, you may not have leprosy, but we have all had the stains of sin on our lives. Yet he is willing to touch us, apply his precious blood that was shed for us to wash away those stains. And if you ask him to make you clean, his response will be, "I will. Be thou clean." That is the compassion of our Savior. Verse 9 in Psalm 145, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." You know, he's a lot kinder than he'd have to be. Even people who are wicked often find themselves in situations where they have plenty to eat. They have everything they need to get through this life. God is compassionate. He provides for our needs. Now, many don't acknowledge him for that. They should, but many do not. "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And thy works, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee." Not everyone is going to praise the Lord. But I tell you what, the saints are going to praise the Lord. The saints are going to want to praise the Lord. The saints are God's people.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I'll tell you what, if you're not a saint right now, you're never going to be one after you leave this world. This isn't talking about dead people.
No.
This is talking about the Christian people who are alive in Christ Jesus. They are the saints of God. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Now, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom? Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 talks about a kingdom that would come and now has come, a kingdom that is in full force today. Daniel 2:44 says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever."
Amen.
That's talking about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11 tell us, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Oh, this is the Lord Jesus and his kingdom. His kingdom is eternal. His kingdom is forever. His dominion endureth through all generations. It is an everlasting kingdom. Verse 13, "Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season." I tell you what, when you're in a situation where you don't know what to do next, maybe things are going rough for you, maybe you're going through hard times, the best thing you can do is pray and wait on the Lord. What does it say in Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31? "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even a youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You see, that's what can happen when you wait on the Lord. And wait with an expectation that he is going to strengthen you with might from above. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 16, "Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." He takes care of us even when we don't deserve it. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Think of that. Everything the Lord does, every word he says, every action he takes is righteous. Everything he does, everything he says, every thought he has is holy. Now, none of us can say that honestly, but it is true of the Lord. There is no wicked or evil in him. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Oh, there is such strength when we draw nigh to God. What does it say in James chapter 4, verse 8? "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." If we draw to God, truly draw nigh to God, with our whole hearts, he will draw nigh to you. And how do you draw nigh to God? One of the ways we do that is by praising the Lord.
Amen.
Remember, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So if you ever want to feel close to the Lord, if you ever want to feel close to Jesus, just start praising him. You can sing songs, you can pray, you can cry out to him. You can praise him, worship, extol him, glorify his name. And he inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22, verse 3 tells us, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Yes, he inhabits our praises. Verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Well, that's important too. What did Jesus say? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. We've talked about that. It is possible to try to worship God in spirit, but not in truth. And it's also possible to try to worship God in truth, but with no spirit. You need spirit and truth. Verse 19, "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." Notice the psalm tells us he's good to everyone. And even the sinners out there, he gives them time and opportunity to repent. That's the goodness of the Lord. That's the long-suffering of the Lord. That's the compassion of the Lord. But those who fear the Lord, he hears their cries and he saves them. You must have that healthy respect for God, that healthy fear of the Lord. And when you do, and you come to him in repentance, he will bring you that gift of salvation. And he has a plan of salvation for us. We come to him humbly, seeking his forgiveness. We repent of our sins. And then we're buried in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he fills us with his spirit. Praise the Lord. Verse 20, "The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy." You see the contrast here? Oh, he's good to everyone, but those who fear him, he saves. Those that fear him and love him, he preserves. But what about the wicked? What happens to the wicked? Well, the wicked who refuse to repent, the wicked who refuse to turn to God, they go to a place commonly referred to as hell. And it will not be a party. You know, some people have this misguided notion that hell is going to be a party. It's not. Nobody in hell right now is glad to be there. I guarantee you that. And they would give anything to be able to go back and repent of their sins, but it's too late. Thankfully for us, it is not too late. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." When should we praise the Lord? We should praise him every day. How long can we praise the Lord? Forever and ever. Psalm 146, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord." As long as you're breathing, as long as your heart is beating, you should praise the Lord. Why should we praise the Lord? Well, let's see if this psalm answers that question. "While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help." You know, people keep turning to men, looking for men to save them. And I know people are waiting for Trump to make America great again, but I'm not seeing that happen, are you? Listen, we have one Savior, and his name isn't Trump. We need to understand that. Now, I know some people like the guy, but you really have to guard against Trump idolatry. because there's a lot of that. It's very common in this country right now. And I worship only the Lord. And ultimately, my trust is in God. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth in the very day his thoughts perish. You see, that's what happens to all of these powerful people. Some of them seem very impressive with their strength, their might, their riches, and their power. But what happens? They're here for a little while. Life is but a vapor. If they don't belong to the Lord, well, then they're destroyed. But the time is short. And what happens? His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. The time comes when every human being on this planet breathes their last breath. Even princes, kings, heads of state, presidents, prime ministers, all of these people in authority, they're going to breathe their last breath one day. And when that happens, all of these thoughts that they have in this world, they're going to perish. Verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Why should we praise the Lord? Because when you praise the Lord, you'll find joy in that praise. And God puts happiness within his people, even when things are hard. There's still that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. Oh, these are all reasons to praise the Lord. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Who did that? Jesus, he came to set us free from the bondage of sin. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. Who did that, both physically and spiritually? The Lord Jesus. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Of course, we know that our own righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But he puts his righteousness within us. And he raises us up. He takes us by the hand and pulls us up out of that deep miry clay. He lifts us up when we can't stand on our own. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Then the Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. Oh, that sounds like very good reasons to praise the Lord. We're going to see some more reasons to praise the Lord in Psalm 147. Let's continue on. Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. That word comely means beautiful. And yes, it can be a very beautiful thing to praise the Lord, to worship him in spirit and in truth, to cry out to God, to lift up your voice and sing. For it is good to sing praises unto our God. Yes, there's actually great joy in that. And when you are feeling low, when you are feeling down, when you are feeling beaten and battered by the brutality of this world, the best thing you can do is praise the Lord. There's actually strength in it. As you praise the Lord, you'll feel that joy of the Spirit. And as you praise the Lord, you'll get stronger and stronger. There's strength in praising the Lord.
Yeah.
What did Paul and Silas do when they were taken and arrested and thrown in prison? They praised the Lord.
Amen.
They praised the Lord even in prison. And you know what? They were set free from that prison. Those prison doors were opened. And everyone could have left and escaped, but then nobody left. And that jailer became a Christian that night.
Amen.
He took Paul and Silas, he washed their wounds. And that began the church at Philippi, which is why we have the book of Philippians. And why did that happen? It happened because Paul and Silas praised the Lord.
Amen.
Even in their distress, even in their pain, even in their anguish, they praised the Lord. Verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. The outcast of Israel? Oh, sometimes God picks the ones you'd never expect. Look at his disciples. Four fishermen. Working class. No power or fame. Nothing seemingly remarkable about them. A tax collector despised by the people. A zealot who had been a political extremist. He took outcasts and made them disciples. And in Luke chapter 14, Jesus told a parable. Luke 14. You know what? Why don't we just turn there for a minute? Luke 14, let's turn there. I was just going to read a portion of it, but it might help if you can see it. Luke 14. Luke 14, and we're going to start with verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. You know, Jesus came to gather people together. The invitation has gone forth. And he came to the people of Israel first. He offered them salvation. Many rejected it. And today there are many people who still reject that offer. And I tell you what, people who reject that offer are absolutely out of their minds. But verse 18 tells us, And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Well, you should have looked at it before you bought it. And that's a strange thing to do, buying a piece of land sight unseen. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Well, you could do that later. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, if you married a woman who wants to prevent you from serving the Lord, you married the wrong woman. And that goes for men, too. If you married a man who doesn't want you to serve the Lord, you married the wrong man. Verse 21, So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Go find the rejects. Go find the outcasts. They'll come in. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. They went and they gathered these people together, the ones that nobody else wanted, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And there was still room. You know, you think about all the people who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ over the years, all the millions who have come to the Lord in repentance, and there's still room at the cross for you. There's room for one more. Praise the Lord. Yet there is room.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Go and find the outcasts. Go and find the rejects. Let's go back to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, I'll read verse 2 again. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I love that verse. Have you ever stopped to think about that verse? It's very short, but it's also very profound, because what this verse tells us is that not only does our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, care about his people physically, but he also cares about his people emotionally too. He healeth the broken in heart. Oh, if you have a broken heart for any reason, the Lord Jesus is the one who can mend that broken heart. Verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. So that's remarkable. Scientists can't figure out how many there are. They say there might be billions of stars, trillions of stars. We can't even count all the galaxies. We can't count all the stars. And yet the Lord knows every star, and he gave each and every one of them a name. Think about that. That is remarkable. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. Think about that word, infinite. What does infinite mean? It means without limit and or boundary, extending forever.
Yeah.
You can't get any more than infinite. His infinite is, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Of course, meek means humble, gentle, and submissive to God's will. And we all must be meek. What did Jesus say? The meek shall inherit the earth. And he wasn't talking about this one, by the way. He's talking about the next one. That new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise the Lord. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. Oh, these are all very good reasons to worship and praise the Lord. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. People are very impressed by horses. And God loves horses. I believe it. I believe that the Lord loves horses. Why? Because there's horses in heaven. And in fact, the book of Revelation even talks about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ riding a white horse. You can kind of tell as you read scripture which animals the Lord loves the most, and I do believe that he loves horses, but he's not impressed by the strength of a horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Someone might be able to run fast, win Olympic medals. That doesn't impress the Lord. What does he really take note of? Verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. You know, he does not look down on the Olympics with any interest, I guarantee you that. But he does take pleasure in those that fear him and those that love and respect and honor him every day. And those that hope in his mercy. And yes, we have hope in Jesus Christ because of his mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. And you can apply this spiritually too. Because the Prince of Peace puts peace in our hearts. Even in a world that seems to have no peace. He filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. You can apply that to the spiritual food that he gives us. He gives us the very best spiritual food. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. And as hot as it's been lately, some of you might actually be looking forward to that a little bit. Snow is coming. It'll just be a few months. But then winter will come. It'll get cold, and people will think to themselves, oh man, I can't wait for summer. Yeah. Well, at least when we get to heaven, we know it's going to have the perfect climate. Praise the Lord. Yes. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. Hoarfrost. It is a white frost or frozen dew that covers the ground. Perhaps you've seen it. It's basically frozen dew. It's actually quite beautiful if you've ever seen pictures of it. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? You know, when it gets really, really, really cold. And thankfully, it's not always like this. Of course, people have different definitions of really, really cold. Here in Wisconsin, it's generally known that January comes along, February, you're probably going to have some days below zero. But sometimes it gets really, really, really cold. There have been times when it's been 30 below zero, even 50 below zero with wind chill. And when that happens, they tell you, don't go outside unless you absolutely have to. And don't stay out there very long. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. Yes, these seasons come and go. It's the cycle of life, and God ordains all of it. He's in full control. He brings us winter, but eventually the snow and ice melts, and the ground gets nice and muddy about March or so. Gotta watch where you step. And snow all melts. The wind blows, the waters flow again, even those lakes that freeze up. Every year here in Beaver Dam, the lake freezes over completely into winter. And in fact, people like to go ice fishing out there. They set up their little ice shanties, and some even drive their pickup trucks on the lake. Now, I personally wouldn't do that because I hear stories every year about trucks that fall through, so I guess they're taking a huge chance when they do that. But that lake freezes over, and every year it melts. It starts getting a little warmer in the spring, and it completely melts, and the waters flow again. Why? Because God wants it that way. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, yes, it's wonderful thing that he has withheld judgment and given us an opportunity to repent of our sins so that we don't have to pay the price for those sins. That's a reason to praise the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 148. Who should praise the Lord? Psalm 148, verse 1 tells us, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. In other words, praise him wherever you are. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. And I tell you what, the angels in heaven love praising the Lord. You might recall in Luke chapter 2 when it was talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, what happened? Luke chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 tell us, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Yes, the angels love to praise the Lord. And Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10 tell us, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And who, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The angels in heaven rejoice when even one sinner repents. Think about that. Imagine what that must be like to witness that, to experience that. The angels rejoicing in heaven. When one sinner repents, when one sinner goes down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus, the angels are rejoicing in heaven. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. You know, all the creation must obey the will of the Lord. He tells the sun to shine and the sun shines. He tells the moon to glow and the moon glows. He tells the stars to bring forth their light and they bring forth their light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Deeps there refers to deep, deep water. I guess you could say the oceans would qualify. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Dragons can refer to evil spirits. There was also an extinct animal when scripture was written that were sometimes called dragons. Fire and the hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Basically, what this psalm is telling us is that all of the creation should praise the Lord. The instruction is to praise the Lord. Even the animals should praise the Lord. Even the creation itself should praise the Lord. Verse 11, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Well, it sounds like this includes everybody, doesn't it? Kings, princes, judges, young men, maidens, which refers to young women, old men, children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above all, above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people. Horn often is used as a metaphor for military strength. And he gives us strength, too, to overcome the wicked one, to overcome the adversary, to overcome the devil. And that is a reason to praise the Lord. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints. Again, God's people are called saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Who should praise the Lord? Everyone, the entire creation should praise the Lord. How should we praise the Lord? Let's look at Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Oh, you see that word saints a lot in Psalms. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Are you joyful in your king this morning? Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, and that's a reason to praise him. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. Oh yes, these are ways you can praise the Lord. You can sing, you can even dance if you feel so led. Of course, it's not going to be a worldly sensual dance, but it is possible to praise the Lord with dance. Verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He does indeed do that. When he gives us the gift of salvation, he's applying beauty to his people. Really, his own beauty he puts upon us. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. You can even praise the Lord from your bed. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Well, you don't have to go out and get a physical sword, but you can carry this book, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. In other words, we're able to overcome the adversary through his strength. Satan and his army has no power over you as long as you are abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. For even he is subject to the will of God. Praise ye the Lord. Now, Psalm 150 is almost like a little exclamation point at the very end of the book. Let's look at it. Psalm 150, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Oh, you can use all of those instruments to glorify God. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you're breathing this morning, you should be praising the Lord.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
I hope you like praising the Lord, because when we get to heaven, you're going to be doing a lot of it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning. Thank thee for thy goodness. We praise thee for thy wondrous works. We praise thee for thy awesome power. We praise thee for thy salvation. We praise thee for thy mercy. We praise thee for thy grace. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to be with thy people and inspire us every day to praise thee, to glorify thy name, to worship and extol thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with thy people. Strengthen us each and every day. Give us the strength to walk with thee, not turning to the right or to the left, but help us, O God, to keep our eyes upon thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would lead us by thy merciful hand and guide us into all truth. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with thy people and bless thy people. Bless thy people who are here in this building. Bless thy people who are listening online. And bless thy people who are scattered all throughout this world. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. We're going to open our melodies of praise hymnals and turn to number 2. We're going to sing Praise Him, Praise Him. Number 2. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.